record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. My treasure in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love,
doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Oh, now getting ready to leave this world. Watching both day and night, I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Trusting in the riches of His saving grace, through each earthly trial, I His love can trace.
Oh, now sure that up in heaven, I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
No, that's not just a song. That's reality. Are you getting ready? Are you making preparations for the other side? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege once again the Lord has given you and I to be in His house, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why don't you turn around? I know the virus and stuff's going around. Just look at somebody and tell them, God bless you. If you want to shake their hand, you can do that. God bless all of you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Play a little bit more of that, guys. Oh, we're getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl.
Keeping my record right, watching both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave
one
this
more time.
World. A good hand clap of praise in His house tonight. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. We had a time here over the weekend, didn't we? You really appreciate being in camp meeting. Every time it's camp meeting, isn't it? Aren't you glad about it? Praise the Lord. A lot of people say, well, it's just church as usual. No, it's not. No, this is treasured times that we're getting to go through right now. Treasured times. We'll realize it one of these days, but this is treasured, treasured times that you and I are getting to experience around here. And I praise the Lord for it. Don't never want to take it for granted. Don't never want to just say, well, we'll have to go to church, I reckon. No, we get to come to the house of the Lord. It's our privilege to get to come to His house. You believe that tonight?
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Somebody say amen right then.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We got several prayer requests we're going to let you know about. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says our neighbor Matt Shepherd is back at the Bristol Hospital for therapy. They brought him by ambulance from Charlottesville, Virginia. He is in very much pain, so we want to remember that need tonight. Continue to pray also for his salvation. His brother-in-law, Jim Wade, is home after hospital, being in the hospital also. So we want to remember those folks tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. We want to pray for Brother Gene Lehman home, not feeling well tonight. They're just a slew of people that's got an old virus or upper respiratory infection virus or something going on. So I just want to pray that that won't infiltrate our church. Just keep us in his love and care, and I believe he'll do that. Don't you? Brother Jerry Glenn, he says he wants to thank all the saints for their prayers and being able to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Jerry, it ain't the same when you're out here, buddy. I tell you that. Certainly appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Sister Bonnie Potter sends this in to please pray for a co-worker, Pete Wolf. He needs a PICC line for a serious infection in his ear. He may need surgery for a block in his neck. Our God is able. So we just commit that unto the Lord. We want to remember the flood victims in Texas, many without homes. Several of these folks are streamers that have been affected. So we want to remember that situation. The Lord, just be mindful of those folks. And it's just terrible what is going on, I tell you that. I want to remember the family of Terry and Karen Pendergrass in the loss of their son. Also Christy and Brandon Smith. We'll remember those folks in prayer tonight also. Still remember the family of Brother Gene Littleton. They had his son's burial today, so we certainly pray for the family that the Lord would just comfort their hearts and speak peace to them. Brother Keith Phillips says, I want to praise the Lord. First round chemo, 3 straight days is over. No side effects. Thank everyone for praying. I could still use more. Please excuse me for not handshaking, but I can fist bump. I saw him shaking hands, so that's out the wind. That fist bump's out the wind. All right. Praise the Lord. Sister Linda Kreger called to request prayer for her mother. Her name is Katie Lorindu. She came home today from the hospital after having a heart catheterization procedure. Please pray all will be well, that the family will be able to return to church this weekend. So let's remember those folks in prayer as we pray. Brother Jim Hughes, dealing with either allergies or a cold, just need a healing touch. Thank you, and may God bless. So we'll remember Brother Jim Hughes in prayer tonight. Precious brother that we love very much. Here's another prayer request for Brother Gene Lehman. Brother Dan Dyer, not feeling well, upper respiratory, unable to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's remember him. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He had a very bad day. Request prayer, so let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Naomi Daly, upper respiratory virus, so let's remember her as we pray tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe our God is able? Do you believe our God is able? I believe it with everything that I have. He is more than able. Help our unbelief, Lord. May our faith grow muscles that we'll take a hold of the promise. Could we stand tonight? Praise the Lord. Brother Keith, why don't you just come lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. I certainly appreciate this, brother, don't you? Appreciate his testimony. Love you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Well, I want to thank everybody for praying for me. I felt those prayers, you know, as you sit there during the day and you're getting the treatments and everything. You can feel the saints' strength that they give to you. And, you know, I held on to the word, encouraged myself by the word, like David said. It said that you should take in no deadly thing and it won't harm you. And I said, Lord, you know, this is the type of poison here, and I don't believe it'll harm me. And so, no side effects, and I'm not signing for any. So, you know, God is good. He's ever present. And, you know, I'm better now than I've ever been. You know? So anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, what can I say? It's so wonderful to be here in church, Lord. You've allowed me to be here one more time. You brought me with you. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're ever present in our lives. And Lord, it's you just said, can you believe? Lord, it's not me believing, it's you believing in me. And that's the way it is. Many, many needs, Father, that I don't remember them all. You know, you think about the terrible devastation in Texas and people that's lost families and loved ones and homes being uprooted. But Father, we know that your hand is upon all these things, and we just ask you for mercy, Father. We ask you to meet all these needs according to the way that you see that they need to be met. Maybe we would ask one thing, but we would ask amiss. We can put them into your beautiful nail-scarred hands and know that you'll take care of them like you take care of your children. I love you, Lord, and would you be with the rest of the service, Father? Anoint the man of God as he comes forth to speak the words of life to us. And all we ask you to do is fulfill your word. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. You said you would do it, and we believe you. Help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.
Receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you with us. Those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. I kind of got talked to a little bit Sunday morning about welcoming the streamers. And I didn't like it a bit. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't get mad. But somebody said, now you need to welcome the streamers that's not in driving distance. Those streamers are who we need to welcome. So I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say all of our streamers, wherever you're at, God bless you. We're glad to have you tonight. I'll let the man that told me that, he can do the correcting when he's up here again sometime. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. You, the rest of your life, the rest of your days, if you took every minute of every day, you'll never thank him for what he's done for you. You'll never be able to catch up. We're too far behind. He has done everything for me. He turned me to a 180. How about you? Have you turned your life around? Are you glad about it tonight? Give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. Just want to thank you, for every time you heard my prayer. Just wanna thank you for always being there.
When I was so down and out,
oh, yes,
you came along
and you made
me wanna shout.
Just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing that chorus again. Oh, I just wanna thank you, Lord, for every time you heard my prayer. I just wanna thank you for all.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing it now. Oh,
Praise him tonight, church.
He is awesome.
Praise him tonight.
He is awesome.
awesome. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weakened. Forever He will reign.
My God is awesome.
He is awesome. He is awesome. Awesome. He is awesome. My God is awesome. He's awesome. I know He's awesome. He is awesome. My God is awesome. The Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation. By His stripes I am healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Praise His holy name. My God is awesome. Oh yes, He's awesome. He is awesome. Oh, awesome. My God is awesome.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There is none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your greatness, your omnipotence, your mercy, your power. We worship you tonight, living God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you just love it when He does that? You realize that switch now is not on the piano. Brother Louie don't have a switch up here that just goes like that and the Spirit of God just comes in that way. Harry's got a couple switches on the organ there that turns the Leslie off and on, and the brothers have got different switches, and but none of us can control that. I love it when He does it. I tell you, friends, we need His presence more than ever before in our lives. He wants to be so awesome in each one of our lives. I'm sure that He has. He's been awesome in your life, the things that He's done. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to tonight, if you would, to the book of Acts again. Those of you that already have read ahead of me, you know that we're getting pretty close to the end of this book. It's been wonderful, hasn't it? Amen. I don't know exactly which direction we're going to go after this, but I know He does. I know He's mindful of us. He'll give us what we need. Let's pick up where we were last week. Verse 6. Howbeit they looked when He should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to Him, they changed their minds and said that He was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. That's quite a combination there, isn't it? The man of God comes in, prays, lays hands on him, and he's healed. Now you know that this is not an equation of one, another, and another that is controlled by preachers or anybody else. If this was controlled by preachers and this was at will, then this would be done by every believing servant of God. I could do this same thing. Every preacher in this building, everyone around the world, could do exactly this same verse. But if it's not in God's time, under God's inspiration, these results will not be the same. Right? So we have to have what? The sovereign leading of the Spirit of God. Verse 9. Now watch, this is the reason. Verse 9 is the reason. Verse 8 leading up to it. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. It wasn't to make an idol out of Paul. It wasn't to make him look great. It was for a furtherance of the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you so much tonight, dear God. After this presence that's been here, Lord, just to singing about you, how great you are, and reading your word, we could just say the dismissal right now and go home and say, "Why, it was good to be in the house of God." We thank you, Lord. We just so love you with all of our hearts. Lord Jesus, we believe you have things, though, that you'd like to say to us tonight. So I pray that you would help us. Help me that I can be able to move aside, Father. May you be able to take the gift that you placed there and use it, Lord Jesus, to be able to benefit your people. You see the needs of those that are here, the hands that were uplifted, what it signified in their hearts. Those that are visible, those also that are invisible. Lord, you saw their needs, their desires and requests. I pray that you'd be mindful, Lord. May you speak to us tonight in your words. May it bring faith that we can be able to bring you on the scene in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. How many loves miracles? Supernatural display of the power of God. I love to see it. I've seen it since I was just a boy preacher. God always, by His grace, has manifested Himself in signs and wonders. And even since I was just a Pentecostal, just a kid preaching, I've seen miracles and supernatural that followed my ministry, which I'm grateful for. But I realize that preachers cannot control this. They cannot be the ones to be able to turn it on or turn it off. Sometimes you pray the most simple prayer and God supernaturally will come in and do the phenomena of something that there's no way that you could do. You can't even explain it because you don't know exactly what happened yourself. You prayed the same simple way, believing with all of your heart that you prayed the last time when you prayed for someone else. This time it happened miraculously. The next time it might happen through divine healing. The next time there might be a delay in the answer. Do we have control of that? We do not. It is sovereignly given, sovereignly controlled by God. I think it's a great misunderstanding and a great flaw among the people of God who do believe in the supernatural to believe that we have the ability to be able to control this at will. Now, this was perceived by some of the people who followed the prophet. Even in question and answer 64, they asked him about if he was pressed upon, would he speak them into a condition? You know, it's It's a good question in one sense, very misunderstood in another. They ask him, would he, if he was pressed upon, would he speak them into the right condition if need be? And he complimented the question in a way, in the way that it was asked. But he said, if you'll know those, notice those things that you described, they were sovereignly given by God. If we can see by the display of here, this is the first miracle in this way that we see happen now in quite some time. We've seen God move on the ship. We've seen God move supernaturally to bringing them all ashore, 276 people. None of them died. But this is the first time that we've seen the Spirit of God move in this way. Now, we've been looking at this book of Acts for some months now, almost a year we've been looking at it. And it's been some months that we've seen this type of miracle. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't miracles that took place, but either Luke did not feel to write them, or there was a slowing of that time in the apostles' ministry, and now there is a further need for the advancement of the gospel. God never sends a preacher into a hospital. I've been to the medical center many, many times of the 30 years that I've visited. There are people sitting here who've had miracles performed in their lives. One of the brothers sitting here who was in the middle of a heart attack. God sent me there to pray for him. Prayer was offered. God stopped the heart attack right in just a moment of time. Different children, different babies that have been there, and the Spirit of God move for them. One thing after another after another. Do I control that? Absolutely not. I have no control at all. Do you control it? You do not yourself. But God does it for a reason. He does not do it so that people will follow this man or that man or that man and make a personality out of that man. But God does it to be able to vindicate His presence. This is what God is fixing to do now, because God knows that there is a seed church that is going to be made here in this island. Paul is only going to be able to be there for about 3 months. So this supernatural vindication of this man of God needs to be proven in a short time beyond the shadow of a doubt. God is going to establish this now in the hearts of the people. Now, the most of these people, no doubt, they were heathens as far as believing in God. Some of them may have believed in God. They were of African and Asian descent. And yet the Roman Empire had now controlled this island for quite some time. So they needed to see a display of the power of God that would help them to be able to be convinced that God moved in supernatural. Now, we believe He does the same thing, do we not? Now, in this, God is going to prove the ministry of Paul in such a way that it will drive back the shadows of the darkness, of this darkness that's overshadowed their hearts, by which many of them have been engrossed, no doubt, since they were young children. Some of them had to be able to embrace all types of heathenism, even as they came through the different ships. As a support city, it was a layover in these times of the winter times of December, January, February. So all kinds of people would come from different ports. They would come from Alexandria, they'd come from Egypt, they'd come from different places, because this was a winter haven. And the winds were not favorable until about the 1st of February. So all types of people would come with all types of beliefs and all types of doctrines and all kinds of things. So God wanted to establish an apostolic church in this island that it was going to later be called Malta. So here God wanted to establish first Paul's ministry. And God could have let him land all kinds of different places. He could have landed just a little bit farther up in the ocean and he would have been in Sicily. He could have come just a little farther than that. He would have been in the very tip of the boot of the island where Rome was going to be, and that was Italy. He could have landed all kinds of different places, but God allowed Euroclydon, this great storm, to blow them right here and land there. I'm so glad, even in the storms of our life, that our God has sovereign control to be able to put us where we need to be when the boat lands. Now, the boat may not land in the way we want it to, but God is still in control as far as the end result of where the boat is going to land. Now, supernaturally, God is fixing to vindicate them. Paul's ministry. Look at this again in verse 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius. Now, Publius, this was a name sort of like Caesar. This was not a personal name like Donnie or Fred or Jack or something like that. But it was a governmental name, a public name that was given to this position that the man held. Now, first, of course, there was one who came by the name of Caesar, but then Caesar became a common name by which each one of these emperors would get. So it was Claudius Caesar, it was Augustus Caesar, it was Nero Caesar, and each one of this. So Publius is the same type of a name, that it more described his position than it did his personal name. But he was the greatest man now on the island, and it just so happened that his father has now contacted this disease. Now, this was something that was common among the people of Melita. It was a microbe that lived inside the goats, and of course they drank goat's milk and ate goat's meat. So it was something that was common among them. It was constantly there among the people. The historians write about it, that it was a common thing. And had this happened to some poor guy that was laying on the outside of the city, he would have never got the recognition that was needed. But it just so happened that this Publius, his father, was the one who now had it. Now, so Publius is the one who's going to welcome them into his home. He takes all these men into his home, and he feeds them and clothes them and takes care of them. It just so happened at the same time that they were in his home that his father is now sick with this bloody dysentery. Now, as I said, had it been somebody outside, somebody on the other side of the island, Paul would have went and prayed for him. They'd probably never known anything about it. It would have never got public recognition. Now, God knows exactly what he is doing. You believe that? And we know that God did exactly the same thing with Peter, same thing with Apollos, many of these apostles, when they would go forth, and God would allow them to pray for people of honor, same way he did with the prophet of God in our age, and the same way that he's done for great men of God, believe it or not, that are alive in this day. And God does it that way. Not saying that he will overlook the poor and the insignificant. He does move for those as well. But yet God has a reason sometimes for letting those that are in public position that can be able to give public favor, God will move upon their hearts and let them be touched in a supernatural way by the life or the miracles or whatever more of a servant of God for a reason. God has a reason. Now, we shouldn't think everything that that is bad, because if God is doing it, God has a reason and a purpose in mind. Right. Now, God has given Paul favor time after time after time with the Roman centurion, the one who's actually been along with Paul the whole time. And we're going to see in a few verses after this that the favor of God is still moving upon this man that never became a believer. God does it that way. Now, watch. So the father of Publius is sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. You can look at this Greek word here that is dysentery, of course, where we get the word dysentery. So it was a bloody ailment of the bowel, a microbe that got inside of their body. In subsequent times, during this time, of course, when Paul landed there, it was something that was quite common. But yet it was something sort of like, it would be the attacks were intermittent. So they would come and they would leave. They would come and they would leave. The person could get deathly sick. They could get to where they was almost past going. It could actually kill them if they were not treated. So here is a doctor now that is with them on the ship, Dr. Luke. Now, Luke was not only a preacher, but Luke was also a physician, and Luke was also a great writer. But God did not send Dr. Luke into this place with his doctor's bag. No doubt Luke was many, many helped many people along the way, and thank God for that. But this did not call for a doctor, it called for a preacher. And it did not call for a preacher which was a doctor, or a doctor which was a preacher, but it called for a preacher which was a preacher. God did not want it to be the lines to be blurred, that he had given him some type of antidote naturally and then prayed for him as if though that some type of supernatural element came. I do not believe God wants us to make miracles out of something that is a common occurrence. I don't think that God wants us to make miracles. God don't need our help to make something supernatural. God is the author of supernatural. I don't think he needs us to help take something that is natural and try to add something super to it and turn it into a so-called supernatural move. I believe he wants us to give him praise and credit for everything he does. And God did not want it to be an herb or a tonic or a mixture or a lump of figs or anything like that that was able to move for this man. He wanted it to simply be a powerful declaration of the supernatural. And the church said, There's times in our lives it'll be the exact same way. God will allow things to move for us. Maybe it's someone that God gives you favor in, and God moves, but yet it was not just really in the supernatural alone. It was God moving on the heart of a person, and they moved in your favor, and God was watching over you. Yet it was not supernatural alone in the sense that God did not use a human element. In this sense, God wanted no herbs, no pills, no inoculation, but God wanted Paul fulfilling the original commission that the Lord Jesus gave, and that was, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, do we believe in remedies? We do. If I get a headache, if I need a Tylenol or an Advil, you better believe I'm going to take one. If I'm going to pray, yes sir, I'm going to pray. If I need to go to the ER, I'm going to go, and I'm going to thank God that it's there. Yes sir. If I need to go to a doctor, I'm going to do. Several years ago, I had to have my eyes fixed by laser surgery. I have been so glad every year of my life that I had that done. Because used to, I wore contacts, and when I would sweat, that sweat would get behind my eyes, and I looked like a drunk after every service because my eyes sweated so bad. I've enjoyed that LASIK surgery every year of my life. As a matter of fact, I think I'm just thanking for it right now. Thank you, Lord, that I can see a lot better. Did God do it supernaturally? He did not. It actually come from a doctor in Brazil, which many, many years ago started working on rabbits and on dogs, then on prisoners, and he perfected this, and it was many, many years in the making. But yet, what did God do? I believe God used that element to took the laser beam, smoked my eye, and I laid down as I could smell it burning that, reshaped the curvature of my eye, and in a few moments, I opened up my eye, could see the clock right on the wall. I felt like having a spell. Was it supernatural? Was it a miracle? It wasn't. But now God wanted this to be designated as a supernatural miracle alone. Why? If it had been Luke doing something, then all the people would have lined up and come to Dr. Luke. Oh, there's a great doctor here. Oh man, he's a surgeon. He can do this and that and the other. But they never come to Luke. They come to the preacher. They come to the preacher. They didn't come to Luke with his bag and his herbs and all of his shots and all of his inoculation. And no doubt Luke helped people along the way. But what did they do? They started having a prayer line coming to Paul. Amen. Notice it came to pass when the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of the bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now we know in reality Paul did not have the power within himself, but it was a delegation of power given to him by his authority as who he was. Now, does every believer have this in this caliber? We know not. No, they do not. Can believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Absolutely. But when you go to dealing with certain types of diseases and demonic oppression and things like that, God does not give that to everybody, because it's not just the authority to cast it out. It's dealing with that demon once you have made it leave. Now, you may have the faith to be able to make it leave initially, but do you have the understanding and the know-how when that demon attacks you that night or the next day? Are you made up to be able to deal with that thing, because you're the one who made him leave? And guess what? He's looking for vengeance, and he's upset, and he's mad, and he's going to come against you. So, you know what? God calls people, and he gifts them in the way that he wants them to be able to stand. But it is evident that through the apostles and through many ministers that God had called down through the ages, that they were given a special allocation of this to be able to handle it. Was every believer? No. We don't find any of the sisters in the book of Acts doing this. We don't find just any of the lay brothers in the book of Acts doing this. But it was a special designation of power. And Jesus told them in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it is exousia, the Greek word for power, and it is authority. So it's not just power to do it, but it is authority. So you've got the power. Now listen to me, friend. The power for me to lay hands on you and God to heal you, I have that with me every day. It's with me 24 hours a day. You call me 2 o'clock in the morning, it's there. You call me at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's there. But do I have the released authority for that power to be administered to you, either standing here at the altar or over the phone? That's a different story. Now, your faith and my faith joined together, believing God, that God cannot make a promise he cannot keep. We know that. And I have that power. You have that power as a believer. But what I need is the release of the authority of God, that power can flow out of me into you, and you will be healed either over the phone or by a text or by an email or my hands. You understand?
power and authority goes together. Now, we have police officers here at our church, and many of them, of course, they have certain rights. I'm sure I don't understand how it all works, but if they saw a situation, they would be able to stand to do this and that and the other. But they not just have power, but they must have the authority. All right, you can wear your uniform to church. If there's a certain need, you can do this, but you can't do that. Now, they have the power. They are a policeman. But do they have the authority to be able to release them under this certain circumstance and situation? Now, the power of God laid in Paul to be able to heal all kinds of people. How come it just starts working now again as if though a revival has now been released? You know what he had? Authority. Authority. Now he has the Spirit of God to be able to walk into this room, and he not only has power, but he has authority. Now, if we come down here after church and the traffic lights are out, and we have policemen standing down there, and they become the absolute of the intersection, and one standing there motioning the traffic this way, and then he puts up his hand, and then he motions us this way, and then he stops. What's he got? He don't have the power to stop your car. He could not stop my car. He doesn't have power, but he has what? Authority. So the authority of a policeman says he stands there, he's got the badge, he's got the billy club on the side, whatever more, and he raises up his hand. What is that? A display of authority. When Paul goes in and he goes to laying hands on this man, now naturally, of course, they had some sort of remedy by which they would be able to move, but it was something so supernatural that the word began to go all through the village now and all through the outside lying area, and they begin to tell that something happened. It was such a noticeable difference in such a rapid way, they knew it was not just a healing. Now, did the blood stop? Was the man so severe he was vomiting up blood? Luke, you know, Luke is quite a writer. He would give you so many details and certain things, and then certain things you wish he would have said that he didn't tell you. So we really don't know what it was that happened, but whatever it was so visible, and it was so powerful that word got out. Could you imagine? So your Paul lays hands on this man, and then maybe a servant tells somebody else, and somebody tells somebody else, and before long there's this whole crowd of people that are standing outside waiting for this man of God to pray for him. Now he not only had power and calling, but now he had authority. Why? God is going to establish his ministry because he's going to be here for just 3 short months, and he's going to leave a deposit of apostolic truth that will be able to establish a renowned church on this island of Melita, which would be known for hundreds and hundreds of years, even after Paul died. Amen. What was it? God building a foundation. And what was it built upon? It was not built upon the personality of Paul. It was not built upon dry theology. But the very birth of this church on this island was what? A move of the supernatural of God. I'll tell you, friend, don't try to take the supernatural out of my life. Don't try to take the supernatural out of our church. We need it here. We need it like never before. Oh my. So it was Paul now that enters into this, and it's not Paul, of course, as I said, that healed him, but he is the one who displayed the power of God. Notice verse 9. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Now this miracle wrought such faith among the people that faith began to multiply. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, how in the world is all these miracles going on, and we have no record that he's even preached yet? Where's his text? What sermon did he preach, Dr. Luke? Well, I mean, what series did he go into? But they saw the supernatural of God, and they believed. Man, we've got to have 47 pages of quotes, and we've got to have all this and that and the other. 2 bottles of oil rubbed all over us. I'll tell you, friend, we need to have simple faith in believing God's word. That if God said something, God cannot lie. Now, these people, they are heathens. They are not Christians. This is the first time that they've ever gone to hear the term Christianity. They had no idea, no clue. We have no recorded either in him or Pliny or Ptolemy or any of the Roman historians, any other of the historians that I've been able to find, that they have any recorded history that Christianity had ever been named on the island up to this time. And God finds it upon what? A supernatural move of him coming down among them. And yet they're not really taught the principles of divine healing. They're not taught by his stripes you're healed. They're not taught. Luke doesn't even mention anything. But this person got healed. That God that healed him, he can heal me. I'm afraid sometimes we get so much in our head and we get so little down in our heart. And it becomes so cluttered up here in our minds. Oh my, don't you love God? Don't you want God to be so real to you that no matter how much you know and how many years you serve Him, that He can always make Himself real? Amen. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Now, whatever the disease was. Now, isn't it amazing that it goes from this dry spot of no supernatural being made manifest or any of this recorded anyway, into this to all of a sudden it is an absolute explosion of supernatural miracles. So it's not just one, and then we think, boy, that was something. That was really something. But that one begat this one. Out of that one begat another, and out of that one begat another. So one disease after another after another. Now remember, this island is kind of isolated. You know how it was in those times. And they would be lived there and they'd have certain diseases because of the type of food they ate. Or shellfish or mollusk or something like that. Comes constantly in their diet, and they would pick up certain amoebas and things like that. And there was things, no doubt, that was just privy to this type of island. But there was all these diseases, and they brought one after another after another. And God began to move. And God began to heal them. Oh my. Wouldn't that have been a revival to have been in? Notice this in verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors. Wow. So they see God move among them by this man. And Aristarchus, which is with them. And Luke. And then they begin to come back and give Paul and these other men of God honors. Now they weren't buying their miracles. Send me $100 and I'll send you a special bottle of oil. I've already got my own oil, thank you. I'll send my $100 somewhere else where it can be used. Oh, send me so and so and I'll send you a special prayer call that I've prayed for. I'll send you this special piece of the nail. My goodness, how many nails was Jesus nailed to the tree too? Oh my, we've got a special this. Forget it, friends. God don't have to do such nonsense as that. Believe His word. Believe His word. But notice now what the people are doing. And remember, they're heathen. But yet, sir, there's something is now moving. They are so grateful. They are so thankful for what God is doing that now they start honoring Paul and his helpers that are there. And Luke said, who also honored us with many honors. So they realize these men are special men. Do you believe that people can tell if there's something special about children of God? Absolutely. You know that in your own life. That's the way it ought to be. When the supernatural soul peers out of our soul, that people are able to detect it. So here, they're not buying the miracles. They're not trying, okay, you prayed for men, I got healed. I want to give you X amount of dollars. I want to give you this. But they, in return, they are so thankful for what these men have done that they are bringing them honors, as Luke said. What is it? Grateful expressions. Grateful expressions for what God has done for them. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to thank God every day of our life. Every time you see the Lord answer prayer, thank Him for it. If somebody sends you a card when you're all down and out and weary, don't just take it for granted. Go up to them at your church and say, you'll never know what that card meant to me. I want you to know I thank you for that. What are you doing? You're giving them an honor because they followed the Spirit of God and sent you a card or a text or an email when you were so down that you didn't know what to do. What should you do? Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Look, this is what they're doing. Now the people had been healed. The supernatural had moved. And they said, is there anything we could do for you? Sure. Well, I'm preaching to myself tonight, ain't I? Let's skip these next five pages. I don't think I want to preach this. The islanders paid them respect and honor. Oh, Jesus. Now, they are focusing not so much on the men, but they are focusing on what God has done through them. But an acknowledgement of it. We've seen it already whenever God would move for people because they had helped His servants. No doubt God turns and honors Publius because of him taking Paul in. Oh my. When you've done this to the least of these my brothers, you've done it unto me. So when Paul and his friends arrive, remember they've just been shipwrecked. They have one change of clothes, and that is soaking wet. So they are fixing to come, and they're going to leave again now shortly, and they go to bring them the natural material things to be able to provide for their journey, because they know they are not going to stay. So they give to them supernatural, and they turn around and give them natural. Why? That's all they can administer to them. So each one of us are called to be able to give, to make the economy of God make it flow. You understand? Now, you may not be able to come and lay your hands on me if I'm in the dire need of a miracle. You may pray for me and God may move for me, but each one of you have something you can minister to me and also minister to every brother that is a God called man. You believe that? Now, not so much your money. No, you know I've never asked you for your money. I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your words, your prayers, your kindness. Those things mean more to a real servant of God than if you'd walk up and give him a fist full of $100 bills. Because one day your money will perish. But to know that men of God are making a difference in your life, that's worth more to them than all the money in this world. To know that their preaching is not in vain. To know that their encouragement and the nights that they spend while they cannot sleep, worried about the people and their needs. And to know that that sleep that is lost is not in vain. Oh, you never know, friend, what it means to a real servant's heart. I've had people to come up and say, hey, Brother Donnie, I won't take in by you for a meal. Here, go buy you and Sister Carol something. I always appreciate all that. But what means more to me than anything in this world is to know that people's lives are being changed. That people's lives are being affected. Then what does that make people do? That makes them then want to return in the capacity that they can. Oh, children, what will it be that day when we walk before the Lord Jesus and we bow before him and we look into his face? My, my, what will we want to give him, Brother Skip? That feeling is not done away with even in eternity. Because when we get there, my, my, and we get our crowns, you know what we're going to do with them, Brother Phil? We're going to cast our crowns down at his feet. There'll still be something about us then that we will want to give back to the worthy one. I believe it's an attribute of God myself. Oh, my. Notice this. And Luke says, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now, remember, the departure is going to be 3 months down the road yet. But Luke is showing and tying together why that they're doing this. It's something that they wanted to do. Something that they wanted to express. And yet, it's not even going to be used, part of it, for 3 months down the road. But he wanted to acknowledge what they had done, that it was acceptable in the presence of the Lord. Oh my. If I'd asked tonight, oh, we're going to lift an offering to help do this and that and the other. Some of you couldn't give $100 to save your life. Some of you couldn't give $500 or $1,000. But yet, you know what? You can give tonight. You can give praise. You can give love to the Lord Jesus. If it's our money, boy, a lot of us will be up a creek without a paddle, won't we? But you know what? If we can give our very soul, our very heart, that's what he wants anyhow. Amen. Notice this in verse 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. I imagine this was one of the fastest 3 months these Milesian people, these elect, had ever experienced. Isn't it amazing that Luke does not go into detail? He goes from the healings and the miracles to them fixing to leave. Luke, what about church order? What about doctrine? What about the revival? What about the founding of the church? And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. Now, I will remind you that the ship that Paul and them were sailing on when they had their shipwreck was also a ship of Alexandria. Isn't it amazing? The one the prophet of God is riding on is dashed pieces, broken, destroyed. This one come in near the same time to winter and haven in this place. It got there safely. Not one record of a believer being on board. Yet it landed right here in the same place, and it landed all in one piece. That's why you and I can look around at people. David marveled at the same thing. And he said, how is it, Lord, that the wicked prosper? How is it that people can do this and this and live awful lives and it seems like nothing ever happens to them? Seems like no judgment ever hits them. No trouble ever hits them. Why? They just, everything they do turns to gold, as we say. They never have no hardships. They never have no difficulties. And Christians go through one thing after another. You imagine you come this ship from Alexandria. This was a trade route, of course. Alexandria was one of the major cities, port cities of Egypt, named after Alexander the Great. They ported from their ship, from their rather corn and grain and wheat and all this. It was a direct line to the city of Rome. The Roman citizens waited for these ships because it was a lifeline to them. And yet here this one comes, no doubt in a very similar route that Paul has come through. And Paul is in one storm after another, in this terrific storm, Euroclydon, for 14 days, finally their ship is absolutely obliterated, lands up on the shore, and these other people come in right after them, or a little while afterwards. They land safely. They just winter right there in the harbor. They know the winds are not going to be favorable until around the 1st of February. So what do? They just hang around Melita. They just kind of take it easy and rest. Man, they landed right in the port. They didn't have no headaches, no problems. And you're a prophet of God, and these other men of God, my goodness, they landed. They was told upside down, some on doors, some on tables, some on board, some swimming. They wasn't sure if they was going to make it or not as far as the flesh was concerned. And when they got in, this other boat just sailed right in by them and said, "How y'all doing?" Boy, looks like y'all have had a rough day. You ever get like that as a child of God? I mean, you just show up at work and man, you look like you've been run over with an 18-wheeler. That's why sometimes it's a kind of a personal joke between me and Carol. I'll get up, she said, "How you feeling?" I'll say, "I'm looking for that truck that run over me. Where'd he go? Which way?" And then you look at others, you look at the wicked, they do this and that and the other. They have so little strain, many of them lie. Oh, but friend, let me tell you something. Oh, one of these days it'll turn around. Oh my, I'd rather suffer mine right now, wouldn't you? I'd rather go through the trying and the testing and all the things that come to a child of God and let my character be molded by the grace of God. Oh yes, there'll be ships that arrive in Melita and they'll land a whole lot better than I will. There'll be folks that'll come into the land of Malta and I'll look at them and say, "Wow, you mean you arrived whole? You arrived in this type of, well, how was it?" Salem was great. Man, it was absolutely great. I thought it was on a Disney cruise. It was so smooth. It was absolutely, and Paul said, "You gotta be kidding me. I was out there for 14 days in the deep. We ought to never got through. We landed up here. Our boat was busted all to pieces. And now we are riding your boat because ours was totally annihilated. And we're riding your boat the rest of the way in. How does this work?" And listen to this boat. "And after 3 months, we were departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle." So they come in, sailed in, Brother Jim, docked, tied it up. Oh, they just had a big time all winter. December, January, February. They're just mine, just kind of hanging out, you know. I said, "Boy, this is something. I'm so glad we got this winter cruise. This is great. The seas are rough. It's a bad time to be sailing. Oh, man, it just ain't a good time at all." They just winter in there. They bring their boat in safely. They've arrived safely. Oh, my. Luke said, "Which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux." You mean to tell me these message preachers are going to have to ride a heathen ship under the auspices of Roman gods? Notice their sign was not the sign of Calvary. Their sign was not the sign of the blood. This was not the Queen Mary, the Nina, the Maria, and the Pinta. You know, it was not Calvary. It was not the Bloodway. It was not some great name. But they are going to ride this up all the way, finish their journey, to where they go under the auspices of heathen gods. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. You imagine them walking out there, looking at it and said, "Whoa, my goodness. I wonder why Luke would even write such a thing. I love this guy." So the shipwreck crew, being now here for 3 months, The tribune, the centurion, comes and secures them passage. So they step on the board of the ship. Now, in February, the winds would begin to change in this Adriatic Sea. Now, the Sultus in the earth is now getting warmer. The oceans are warming and the winds are warming. And it's now going to move to where that the winds will be blowing the right way. The south wind will now start blowing because they are down below. Naples are down below Italy, below Sicily as well. So they need the wind to change to where favorably it'll be able to take them up out of the Adriatic Sea and blow them up past Sicily on up to the coast of Italy. And there they'll walk about 150 miles or so once they come on shore. But they need the wind to change. So they wait and they wait. I don't believe Paul was on that island doing nothing. Amen. He was out there working, baptizing people, preaching the truth, establishing a church. Amen. Glory to God. Now, whenever they do get ready to go, God don't have some Holy Ghost filled person coming through and they just happen to be going through with a boatload of grain. But you know what? God said, go ahead and get on this one here. So they get on this ship and hear the cymbals. The cymbals. Oh, my. And y'all even know what this is? You're fixing to find out. After 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. A ship of Alexandria. May have looked similar to the other one. May have been the same size. But this one stands out to Luke. The gospel is fixing to arrive in prophetic form on the boot of Italy under the auspices of heathen deities. Notice this. Now, this is the insignia of what the Romans call the twin brothers. The Greek word dysochoria means the sons of Zeus, Castor and Pollux, who were the twin sons of Leda and the Greek god Zeus. After their death, they are fabled to have been translated to heaven and made constellations under the name of Gemini. Now, you're familiar with this constellation of stars. The name of Gemini, or the twins. They then received divine honors and were called the sons of Jupiter. They were supposed to preside over sailors and to be their protectors. Apparently, these other guys on this other ship didn't pray to them very well, did they? So they are the patron gods of the sailors now. Oh my goodness. You see, it's still heathenism to have patron gods. That hasn't changed. Now, it was common, of course, according to the patron god, to place a carved image or a resemblance on the forefront of your boat and on the hinder part. Now, that way, that god would protect from one end to the other. Oh, my friends, aren't you glad for the truth? So here Luke, when he gets on board, Brother Terry, it must have been really outstanding to Luke, because when he steps up here, he doesn't mention anything else about this other one that they get on, but he mentions about this one. So sailors regarded these two brothers as being the ones that would help him. So they offered them sacrifices, and when they got in terrible storms, I mean, they really prayed up a storm to these two guys, that they would be merciful to them and help them. Oh my. And yet your God is going to allow this Roman vessel to deliver one of the greatest men of God that ever stepped a foot on the earth. Praise the Lord. It's not the message of the hour boat. It's not the Ark of the Covenant boat. It wasn't a Holy Ghost filled boat. God can deliver however he wants to. God can be able to raise a Moses right under Pharaoh's nose and say, feed him, clothe him, diaper him, take care of him, and then I'm going to send him to destroy your kingdom. Don't you see what God's going to do? God's going to bring a man, amen, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's going to land him right there in the boot of Italy. He's going to go right into Rome, and from there Christianity will be exalted, and from there it will conquer the world. It will conquer the world, not under the auspices of the Holy Ghost Church and this ship named after so-and-so, but God said, go ahead, devil. I know you don't want it, but you're going to transport my preacher. You're going to transport him right there, and this time he lands safe. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My. Under this auspices now, here they go. So it was the custom for them to identify and have the image of their God on their ship. We do too. We've got the image of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on this gospel ship. That's why we refuse to put any man's image on this old gospel ship. No man's image goes on the front, no going on the hinder part. Our Lord Jesus is the living image of the living God. He's the only one that's going to get worship on this ship. Come on now, saints. Why? Because it is to Him we pray to in the time of trouble. We don't have to have a God when we're on the sea, and have another God when we're in the air, and another God when we're in land, and another God when we're in Walmart, and then another God when you're in Kmart, and another God when you're in Target. We got the same God 24/7. We've got Him on land, in the air, on water, wherever we are. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh, there is no one like Him. Now, the figure that was used for Castor and Pollux was that of two young men on horseback, each with a javelin in his hand, and by their side, a half an egg and a star. Boy, that sounds heavy duty to me. I'm not sure what that means, but I don't know if they ate the other half or what happened. But anyway, a half an egg and a star. Glory to God. But when I look at my God and I see Him in Revelation 1, I see Him there with seven stars in His hand. He ain't got a half an egg or a quarter of an egg or a javelin, but He stands there with seven stars in His hand, and He says to John, I am He that was dead, and I am alive forevermore. And I'm going to send these seven angels down to the seven churches. Hallelujah! Let people ridicule. Let them make fun. Let them do whatever, brother. But I believe we are following the messages from those seven stars in the right hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now notice this. So the figure that they would use of Castor and Pollux was these young men on horseback. But the sign, now the sign of Castor and Pollux was that of a double cross. Isn't this amazing? A double cross. So their symbolism in seeing their image as a human being would see them on a horse. But their natural symbolism, what it would be like a sign, it would be under a cross. Notice how Satan was already impersonating our Lord Jesus, riding on a white horse, conquering. Amen. And here, what was it? The devil started doing the using some of the same things. And some of these, I hope you know, historically was even used before the truth ever broke. Why? God allowed Satan to break into it to know some things that was going to go on. Notice that. So they carved them and painted them and put them on their ship. Then Luke says, and in verse 12, and landing at Syracuse. Now, a famous city in the Isle of Sicily on the east side in the Adriatic Sea. 80 miles a day's sail, something like that. God this time is going to smile on Paul. Every day of the journey from here to Rome is going to be pleasant. Oh, do we enjoy those days. Drag out the sunglasses and the sunscreen. Woo! Set on the bow of the ship, fully clothed, of course. Set on the bow of the ship, drinking iced tea or lemonade or whatever your favorite is, and ordering one thing after another, smooth sailing all the way to the boot of Italy. I'll tell you, friend, I enjoy those times. I don't know about you. I know your aquadons will come. I know storms will come. But I do appreciate the good, smooth sailing. Don't you every now and then that we'll have. Now, about 80 miles. So the south wind is really blowing good because it was able to make the sail in about one day. So they're sailing north from Melita or from Malta. And Cicero calls this place one of the greatest and most beautiful of all cities of Greece. So it was a very ancient city, being built more than 700 years before the birth of Christ. So God is now allowing His servant to be refreshed. allowing them to sail some calm seas in life and allowing them to be able to have a time of refreshing and rest. Now, this was a colony of the Corinthians, of course, and it was something that they would be able to enjoy. Oh, my. Don't you enjoy just days like this in life? To where you're able to just go out and do something and you ain't got no real heavy burdens, and glory to God, you throw that phone away. Oh, my. Imagine Paul just kicked back. Oh, brothers. Ain't this good? Ain't this good? I don't mind if we're on Pollock's boat or Syracuse's or whoever. Man, this is good. Oh, I enjoy this. After 3 months of labor, I need a few days rest. Why? He's fixing to hit the ground running again when he arrives. That's right. Landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Now, what are they waiting for? The moving of the wind. Oh, my. The moving of the wind. What are they doing? Resting between revivals. Resting between revivals. So now it's the beginning of the month of February, and the waters have started warming, so the winds have started changing, and now the circular motion is going to pull them northward. That's the way that they need to go. They're turning northward. So they need to have the wind. They didn't have motorboats. They didn't have diesel engines. So they need the wind to be able to blow them. So here we find what? The book of Acts is now being closed out with the epitome of a Christian walk that will be reflected over and over again for 2,000 years after this man lives his life. Showing us in the seas of life there are storms, there are good days, there are rough days, there are storms, oh my, our boat will be battered to pieces, and then there are days, amen, in our life where we're able to just kick back and relax and rest and enjoy the presence of God and just enjoy being saved. How many enjoys being saved? Just enjoy it. My, there's days I just enjoy being saved. I don't have to worry about a funeral sermon. I don't have to study for this or that or the other. I don't have to try to find words to console somebody because they got a bad doctor's report. I don't have to worry about a family breaking up. I don't have to worry about a child running away from home. Just days when you can be able to have that you relax. I don't get no emails from Tanzania, Uganda, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Philippines, on and on and on and on and on. Yes, friends, that's every day of my life. Oh, my. But sometimes I get to drag out the shades. And I start out with bottled water. Just kick back. Oh, my. It's good to be a Christian. Fully clothed, as I said. I don't believe in going naked. Even on vacation. I take my clothes with me on vacation. So these are, as they would call it, coastal runs. So they come from one spot and they're making this short little coastal run from here to here. An easy one-day journey. Real easy. South wind blowing really nice. South wind, of course, the balmy wind by now. So it was really blowing in a good frequent way in order to pull the ship and push it on, moving pretty good, 80 miles. So they're able to move on. Oh, just an enjoyable time. No trouble. No storms. No difficulties. Brothers, let's refresh. Let's refresh. How many enjoys it? A preacher from Canada tuned in a few weeks ago when I was dealing with this about Paul. Going through some trouble in their church. Dealing with problems overseas ministers. Dealing with several different things that he was going through. And he was listening to the service. He had to archive it because he had had service that night. And went back and archived it and was talking about Paul, you know, praying over the food and Paul breaking the bread and then eating the bread and then handing it out to the others. And he said he was in such distress going through so many things. And he said, Brother Donnie, I want to let you know, I ate and I rejoiced and I was blessed. And he said, you started praying at the end of the service and praying for the needs of the people. And I said, God, please let him pray for me. And he said, I started praying and said, Lord, maybe there's a minister out there that's going through a real difficult time. And he said he knew God was mindful of him. Now, can you imagine? I prayed this and preached this before he ever heard it. But the Spirit of God so catered that prayer to that brother's needs. And he said, right there when I was praying, the Spirit of God just come and move for it. Amen. He ate. He relaxed. He rested. Praise be to God. You believe our God can do such things? Why, there's no way we can orchestrate such things. It's Him that does it. Why, we need those times of refreshing, friends. We need those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And God is now refreshing His servant. Now, maybe to some of you, a Disney cruise would be refreshing. Not to this old boy. I'm a dry land guy. Some of y'all's already bought your ticket, ain't you? You've done gone to booking.com. Oh my, let's get the last of the summer sales. We're heading to Bermuda. We're going over here. I've done talked some of y'all into a cruise. Hang with me now. Stay here. You said that's what you look at your wife. Some of you punched her. That's what we need. We need another cruise before summer ends. Well, if that relaxes you, go ahead. Oh, I can't imagine, Brother Jim, this servant. He didn't just have a local church on his shoulders. By now, the man is several years old. By now, he's written Romans. He's written Philippians, Corinthians. He's been through so many storms, so many heartaches. He's getting some years on him. And he just can't take it like he used to could. And I imagine when he was younger, rest. Who needs rest? I used to do that too. Now I say, who don't need rest? I used to hear people talk about taking naps after lunch. I say, oh, come on, get a life. Now I do good to make it after lunch. Brother Donnie, you're an old man. Tell me something I don't know. I'm 61 going on 18. That's right. Oh my. You realize it, that you have to have it. Oh, you can act like you're the same. You can go ahead and carry on like you're the same. But your body will let you know tomorrow you ain't. Some of you 35, 40 year old men out shooting basketball with these teenagers and you want to show them what you can do. Go ahead, rip your tendon. Show them what you can do. Show them how a big man cries when you do it. You're not the same. You might as well accept it. We need rest. We need relaxation. On a ball court, my brothers, is not always the best way. Sometimes a rocking chair is what you need. Now you imagine as Paul is going through this, a great thing lays before him. And God, thank you, Luke. Thank you. Praise God. Notice verse 13. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew and we came the next day to Puteoli. Uneventful trips. Nothing major happened, no miracles, no signs, no wonders. Just kind of hanging out on the deck. Just having an easy day. Praise God. You know what? I used to feel awful about having easy days. Used to think you've got to be under the gun all the time, 24/7. Not anymore. I thank God for easy days. Well, I don't need them. You will. Hang with us. What's God doing, Brother Terry? Resting His servant. Day one goes by, nothing major, nothing happened. Just go by. They go from one spot to another, kind of just sailing along the coastline in case the devil does get up and head over to the coast real easy like. So we just stay. Now, that's the only kind of decent cruise you'd ever find this old boy on. If they can be able to sail all up and down the coast about 4 or 5 days, about 5 miles out, 3 miles out, something like that, I'll take one. If I get out of sight of land, oh, my stomach goes to feeling funny. Notice, from thence we fetch a compass. Now, this is a phrase that is obsolete actually to us today. What it means is that they are actually going in a circuitous route up and down, hanging close to the coast. And remember, it's still February, so the winds can change. And they can actually bring. So notice now how Luke writes this to me. It's an epitome of a walk of a child of God. That we venture, and certainly we venture out into the deep. And there's things that we go through. But when we know that we're in the 1st of February, when we know the time of storms are out, what do? We do our very best to stay as safe as possible. Amen. So here they come to Rhegium. This was a city of Italy in the kingdom of Naples, on the coast near the southwest, the extremity of Italy. It was nearly opposite to Messina, which was right across over on Sicily. Regium is located at the tip of the boot of Italy, about 70 miles from Syracuse. So the south wind blows, takes them 70 miles. Next day it blows, takes them about 80. My, they're just rejoicing, just resting, relaxing. Praise God. What was it? A favorable wind. Praise God. Favorable wind. Then they come to Puteoli. The final stop of the three was Puteoli, which is 180 miles from Regium, 125 miles actually from Rome. So at Puteoli, now they're going to depart the ship. Now this phase of the journey, it changes. It becomes more laborious. It becomes harder because from this phase on, they're going to be walking. 125 miles or so, depending on which route the centurion chooses to go. 125 miles walking. Now, notice how the journey of the believing child of God will come from smooth sailing days to where you are basically not doing much of anything. You're just kind of hanging out on the ship, or you want to go down and rest, you can. If you want to get some donuts, whatever more, you're just kind of taking it easy. But once you land in Puteoli, Puteoli brings a little bit of change for you. Now it requires more effort. Now you're going to have to walk and you're going to be pushed. Now for several days, it was about a 5-day journey. So you're going to push, you know, pretty consistent, heavy walking to really be able to make it. So now your burden has now shifted. It's not so much mental as it was, and you're not now resting in the ship, but you yourself must walk. You must labor. You're going to get hot. You're going to sweat. Anybody following me tonight? What is it? It is the phase of the journey that now God requires more of us. Oh my. It is a phase of the journey from Puteoli to Rome when many people become discouraged. Now they know that in Rome, he's uncertain what lays there. He knows that God's told him to go. Christianity has already been established in Rome. We know that one of the Caesars had driven the Jews out of there. Of course, many of them had to leave, but then they was able to return under Nero, because one of Nero's wives was actually a converted Jew, believe it or not. She become a converted Jew from being a Roman, so they kind of favored the Jews, so the Jews had been able to return. But Paul did not know the status of the church. He did not know how it was politically. He didn't know if he's going to be martyred or what. And as he gets closer to this burden, he's having to exert more energy than what he did as he was sailing. Oh my. Unlike the trip now, for the most part, it's been uneventful. Not much that's went on, but they're coming to a spot now. Notice, and we'll close with this for tonight. And verse 14, where we found brethren. Thank God for brethren in Puteoli. No brethren in Syracuse. No brethren in some of these other places. But we found some brothers in Puteoli. And were desired to tarry with them for 7 days. Now, can you imagine? By now, the gospel had already went forward. So what does Paul have? Let me close. The desire for Christian fellowship. I'll tell you one thing. If you're a real Christian, there ought to be a desire in your heart for fellowship. Look what this done to him and Luke. It was so outstanding. You imagine now, they have landed on this place of Italy. It was now the queen of the earth. It was now the dominating place. He doesn't mention one thing about tourist attractions. He doesn't say one thing about the soldiers, the army, how great it was, all the gold, all the things of the Appian Way. He does not mention anything. This guy has no eye for tourism. He does not mention, but what does he mention? He doesn't mention even Puteoli. Puteoli was a great city. It was a very great port city from Alexandria, from Sicily, from different places of the world. It was a great city that had a gigantic forum, had all kinds of statues, all kinds of even Jewish tabernacles and things that was there. And Luke doesn't mention any of that. What does he mention? Brothers. Brothers. It kind of puts things in perspective, don't it? Where your values are. Brothers. Brothers. Now, I want you to notice, before you can have fellowship, you've got to desire it.
Paul wanted fellowship. And it must have been something about Tertius and Luke as well, because they said, we found brothers. I've landed in many different cities of the world. I've went and preached in parts of Africa and Asia and different places. And it would happen that maybe the place I was going that I'd never met the brother before. Maybe by email, maybe I've talked to him on the phone. So I wasn't sure of the man I was looking for. It happened to me when I landed in Zimbabwe the first time. So the brother was at the airport. There's not that many white people that's getting off the airplane, but there was some coming from London. So the brother standing there, waiting. Many of them, when you get there, they'll have your name up like this. So you don't know them, they don't know you, so they'll stand there with your name. Well, I was kind of late getting my baggage getting out, and I kept thinking, oh my goodness, I hope they forgot about me. I don't know anybody here. What in the world am I going to do? So I get my stuff and I head out. This little small brother, he's standing there looking. I seen him asking different white people, you know, if they was me. And finally, I'm the last white guy that comes out. And he comes over and said, would you be Brother Donnie Reagan? And I said, I am. He said, I thought you'd be a big man. Well, I disappointed him just by meeting him. He said, I've heard so many of your sermons and you had such a booming voice. I thought you was a big man. Oh, friends, how happy I was to meet my brother. I mean, some of you have never landed in foreign nations and you know absolutely nobody there. You are by yourself. You have no contact whatsoever except for that one individual. My. I grabbed him and hugged me and he hugged me. And we went out the door and I grabbed him and hugged him again. And probably thought, this guy is really strange. But I was so happy to meet a brother. Oh, my. I don't mind telling you, in this dark world that we're living in, I'm so glad to have brothers and sisters. I believe as we go on in time and the darkness gets more drastic and severe every day, I believe it ought to make us appreciate our brothers and sisters every day more and more and more. Let's stand. Praise God. So they land in Puteoli, where we found brethren. And we desired to tarry with them 7 days. Now listen to his next words. And so, we went toward Rome. It'd be like us saying, well, we went up to Stony Creek. We went over to Irwin. This man is talking about the ruling city of the world. This was not their priority. The priority was the gospel. Praise God. What will it be, friends? One of these days when we're all gathered around the throne of God, we'll get to meet our brothers from Puteoli. We'll get to meet our brothers from Malta, from Rome, from Corinth. Won't it be wonderful? As we start fellowshipping together and spending eternity together. However it will all be, I don't know. Hearing one another's testimonies and sharing stories. I don't know what heaven will all consist of. I know it'll be perfect though. And beautiful. Amen. You imagine, Brother Terry, getting to walk up and meet him and said, you brothers, Brother Donnie preached about you. Yeah. About 3 weeks ago, actually. I believe we're that close. You believe we're that close? I'm not saying it's in 3 weeks. It could be 100 years from now. It could be 75 years from now. But friend, think, we are the generation that is so close. We could meet these saints day after tomorrow. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We found brethren, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Me and Carol went over to Asheville a couple months ago, something like that. She wanted to go into the fabric store there at Joann's, and So we'd been in and got a little something, what it was she's looking for. Whenever we come out, stepped out on the little parking lot thing there, I see this white Buick Enclave pull up. Now, the man looks awful familiar. And about the time I see him, he sees me. He rolls down his window. He's letting his wife out because she's going into Joanne's. Brother Barry Coffee and Sister Becky. So we said, have you all had lunch? You like to eat? Well, can we sit down and have some fellowship? I know probably this is the biggest complaint I get, being the pastor of a large church. Most of you never get to spend enough time with me. And for that, I apologize. You and I have to make difficult choices. If I give you the amount of time that you need, I will not be able to study the way I do. I can tell you some of the first ones here in this assembly that would like to have more time with me. My daughters and their husbands. And my grandkids. And my brother. My sister-in-law. My nephew. My family don't get the time they'd like to have either. But I promise you, one day, we'll be able to have all the time we want. And don't worry, Brother J.D., will not be sitting outside the door. Don't get mad at him now. We have to have some sort of order to keep it. Brother J.D. will be so happy, he'll be shouting down the hills of glory. Look at him back there waving his hand. Him and Sister Barbara won't be here, the last ones to leave at church. We can have all the time we want. Won't that be wonderful? Why? As Christians, we love fellowship. I'm fixing to go up to see a dear buddy of mine, Brother Ron Spencer. Don't get to see him very often. Last year, Brother Tim, Brother Timothy, Brother Ron, myself, was able to have the meeting together. And Switzerland was able to go and have wonderful times together. Spent some days together in France and all that afterwards. Yet when it come time for us to leave, I hate goodbyes myself. I'm not a very goodbye person. We all just kind of hugging one another's neck, and because you realize it may never quite be that way again. But one of these days, be no more goodbyes. No more partings, Brother Charlie. We'll be able to be together forever. We'll see the Corinthian saints, the Philippian saints, the church that struggled and finally growed and become what God wanted them to be. The saints of Malta. The saints of Patuli. The saints that gave their life in the Colosseum. But it won't just be one-sided. They'll get the opportunity to live with you, the overcoming saints of Laodicea. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, it just warms our hearts tonight as we talk about what lays before us. I wish we could leave now. This whole world is so full of darkness and sin and trouble everywhere, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Take us away from this place. Oh, Lord, may we be ready, Father, I pray. We desire to meet these saints of God. We've read about them, heard them preached, many of us all of our lives. They are names in the pages. They are historical figures that we've read about. But now we're finding out more and more about them, that they're human beings like we are. They had their struggles and their fears. Yet you empowered them to live the word in their day. And they was able to overcome. Lord, I long to see the brothers from Patuli, from Corinth. I long to woke up, Lord, and see Paul shake his hand, Peter. Oh, but Lord Jesus, how my heart longs for that day when I'll be able to come and bow before you. Lord, I don't know what I'll be able to present you at that day, but whatever it is, I want to lay it before you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, may there not be a one of us missing that day, Father. As your saints cast their crowns at your feet, and we worship and adore you, Lord God, I want to be there at that great meeting. We love you, Lord. Minister to your people tonight, I pray, Father. Lord, we want to also be mindful, Lord, of down in Texas, all this flooding and now moving over into Louisiana. Lives that are devastated. Some that's lost their homes, their automobiles. They've lost wedding pictures and baby pictures and mementos, Lord, that they'll never be able to replace. So much hurt and anxiety going on among them. Lord, I pray for your mercy. We know, Lord, our nation will never restore to its former glory. We know that. But God, it hurts our hearts, our fellow Americans like we are. Dear God, be merciful, I pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Take us from this place. Come, Lord, and set up the millennium when the earth can enter into peace. Come, Lord Jesus, when the lion will lay down by the lamb. Come and bring healing to the nations, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Praise God. I mean, loves him with all your heart. You want to be there, saints? Oh, don't you want to be there? Harry, sing that for us. Until we get there, let's make the best of what God's given to us now. We have friends, we have family members, the body of Christ. We fellowship together. We pray for one another. We do everything we can to put our shoulder to the wheel to expand the kingdom of God. So when we walk before him that day, we will be able to lay whatever treasures that he's placed in our hands back at his feet. Amen. Let's sing together and just worship him just a little while. We'll let you go just shortly, but let's just sing with all of our hearts. Come, sweet Jesus. Sing it for us.
Come, sweet Jesus.
Amen. Sing it to him now.
Take me from this place.
Take us from this place, Lord.
I really don't belong here now.
Hallelujah.
I want to see your face.
Yes, Lord. Together now.
With every breath I take, in inside my heart I say,
that you'd go with us now, Lord. Keep us clean. Keep us separated. May the breaches of the walls of our lives be built so we can be strong people, sheltered in the power of God. Keep us from the evils of the darkness of this present world. Lord God, watch over you people. You see, Father, the meeting I have this week at Brother Ron's, I pray you would help me, Jesus. You see the needs of his people there and the people that be visiting, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd be mindful of the church here, Lord, while I'm gone. Then, Lord, be journeying down to South Carolina next week to be with Brother Fred. Pray you'd watch over us, Lord. One was to slip away, Lord, while I'm gone. We know we'll just be standing inside the gate there waiting for one another to cross over. We love you, Father. Thank you for our time that we can be together. How we long for that great day when we'll never have to part again. Until that time arrives, keep us by your grace and mercy. Grant it, Heavenly Father. May you watch over us by your mighty hand. We mention again, Lord, Brother Charlie was saying how his heart was just so broke, Lord, with those people down in Texas and Louisiana and all their suffering and all their difficulty, Lord. We pray that you'd be mindful, dear God. We call upon your name tonight, Lord Jesus. Go with us now as we go our ways. As we leave this place, may we never depart from your presence. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for praying for me for the funeral service. The Lord is always faithful. He come by and give me something to say. I appreciate your prayers so much. I get so nervous and so tore up when it comes to those times, but that's why I solicit your prayers, and I appreciate you praying for me, because the Lord is always faithful. God bless you. I'll see you when I get back. I love you in the Lord.
I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy, but I've come to believe he brought me this far to lead me. I don't feel no waste time, no. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. This road would be easy. I couldn't believe he brought me this far to lead me.